Can you imagine a Dick Cheney, Sarah Palin?
You were going to say that.
Ticket.
I can guarantee you Sarah Palin can imagine it.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 102 of the award-winning Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast, version 2.0. Nice to be talking to you again, Max.
Hello. I keep waiting for you to say the podcast of record, but...
I like the award-winning better myself, but that's,
as long as we're making stuff up.
If we're making stuff up, we might as well go for the award, because, we deserved it.
Well, I think we did, yes.
So someday, just to let people know who might have missed, we've changed our format a little bit.
Right.
Based on suggestions from College Boy and actually some emails.
Right.
And so we are doing a much quicker hitting, more stories, and a more driver-friendly 30-minute format. Because when you and I get started, boy.
We can sometimes run our conversations for 31 minutes or more.
Yeah. Hours. Yeah. Hours. Absolutely hours. Which is, just not good.
Well, I still say that some podcasts are okay at 2 hours, 45 minutes. I like to listen to Total Talk Nonsense, but I understand how it's difficult for people who aren't driving 3 hours at a clip.
Right. Well, when we have a 100,000 follower, then we could start doing 2.5 hours because then they're dying to hear us. So
right, and what TTN used to do, and what we should do if we want to have a bigger podcast, is break it up into 3 segments.
But right.
For right now, we're happy and we're excited about doing our new format, version 2.0 CSA podcast, the podcast of award winning records.
There you go. So, to start our new format, basically, we just come with ideas. We don't tell each other what's going on, and we just toss them out and start talking about them.
That's
so
correct.
Why don't you toss out the first idea?
Well, the first one that I have is a straight-up borrow from Twit, and by that I don't mean Twitter. I mean This Week in Tech. It's the top 10 kids search terms. What do you think the number one search term is?
Well, I would say sex. I would think that's what kids go on the internet for.
Right.
When they first get started.
Right. And what they found was kids, and it must be largely younger kids that they took this survey from, don't quite have the internet down as sophisticatedly as we think they do. The first thing they searched for was YouTube. The next thing they searched for was Google. The next thing they searched for was Facebook. And finally, number 4 was sex.
So what you're saying, you think, is that when they open up their browser, whatever the window is that appears there, they just type in Facebook or whatever, thinking it's going to take them there.
When they open up Google, they think that the search bar is the same as the address bar, I guess.
Right.
And this is coming from onlinefamily.norton. Which is a service, obviously, for child protection for kids from Symantec.
Do we have any idea about the age of these kids?
Because
to me it sounds like these are probably like 8-year-olds.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't see anything in this article that specifies exactly how old they are. But we're thinking probably it's around the 8-year-old group.
Right. So I guess the question I have for you is, besides the obvious, the Facebook, the MySpace, I would imagine maybe eBay is on there. I would imagine that, there's a couple other sites
eBay
like that.
Is on.
Are there any – and sex.
Right.
And sex. Is there any other
interesting
thing that kids are looking up?
Well, they did look up porn as well as sex. Porn was number 6 on the search list, and 8 was Michael Jackson, which – we find, honestly, a little disturbing.
Sure.
And the only other thing that's not something that I've ever heard of is some kind of an internet meme, a game, a character somewhere called Fred. The kids are playing with Fred.
Huh, that's interesting.
And you and I don't know who the hell Fred is.
No, I've never heard that before.
But it's something to do for kids. That's it.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. All right, well, I got one here. Okay, now this one, I have to admit, doesn't come from the internet itself. It comes from my own tiny little mind.
Yeah.
All right, and that was that I recently spent some time in the hospital, and the television was so bad, I found myself watching the Weather Channel a lot, and there was a lot about hurricanes, because we're in hurricane season.
You know you're old when you watch the Weather Channel.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. When Paul Cosin is your hero, you know that you're in trouble.
I can comfortably say I don't know who he is.
He's the winter expert. They have a winter expert and they have
a tropical
storm expert. So Paul Cosin's on all winter time, but he's never on during the summer. And I don't know what he does. Does he hang out at the Weather Channel and just kind of sit there drinking coffee? I don't know.
Is he one of the guys that dresses up in the rain gear?
Absolutely. He's got the coat. He's out there in the middle of the winter. He's in the middle of the actually, you know what he does a lot is he's in the inside with a shirt and tie on, looking at the weather maps.
That's
he's
the
smart.
Job I want. Would you want to be a Weather Channel reporter if you had to be the outside guy?
No, absolutely. With 150 mile an hour winds and rain and floods
stop
and stuff.
Signs
no.
Winging by.
In the studio with a cup of coffee on the desk behind the camera
That's
so you
right.
can't see it.
Where you say this is what Jack is experiencing right now.
Right. Yeah, let's go see if we can find Jack out there in the middle of this flood.
Jack.
No, I don't want to be Jack. Anyway, getting back to the hurricane naming, we've had about four or five named storm, couple that have bothered the United States.
Danny was the last one I remember.
And as I'm looking at them, I come to the realization that whoever's doing the naming, we used to name them all after women.
But the women got upset.
And people said that was sexist, and I agree. No reason why it should only be women, so they started naming them after men and women. No problem with that whatsoever. However, this year's crop of names, and I'm not sure if it's previous years or whatever, I just noticed it this year, the names are too wimpy. The second hurricane of the season was named Hurricane Bill, and the fourth one was Danny. And I'm sorry, if you're going to be a hurricane with 150 mile an hour winds and rain that goes sideways – and knocking buildings down and tearing roofs off of houses and stuff like that, you can't have a name like Bill. You can't be Billy Bob. You can't be Danny. You can't be
Jerry.
You just can't. You have to have a substantial
Augustus.
Name.
Wouldn't that be a good one?
Katrina, what a great name. Donna, great name for a hurricane. Right. Andrew, one of those hurricanes that you never forget the name of it and you never forget where you
Even
were
Hugo. Little,
when it hit. Hugo, that was a great name for a hurricane.
No Bills. No Danny.
No Bills.
Danny
no
lives
Billy.
Next door.
No Bob. Yeah. No Bobby. So I don't know whether it's Noah or who does the actual hurricane naming, but I think it should be incumbent on them. Maybe in a follow-up to episode 101, maybe they should ask people on the internet what you should name the hurricanes, but I'm afraid we'd get Squishy Pants or
Hurricane Mr. Squishy Splashy Pants. Devastating.
Right. So who knows?
With 150 miles.
If you're stupid enough to ask on the internet,
right.
Then you're dumb enough to have to put up with the sad results
up for the children. Yeah. Hurricane Spot arrived today in the Gulf Coast.
Right.
150,000
right.
people
oh, yeah.
lost
Hurricane
their
Barney. The young kid, Hurricane Barney.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's bad enough that he exists at all, but to have to remember him for eternity.
As a hurricane?
That would be
sure.
What do you think? Hurricane Grover?
Oh, Grover? Well, that's not too bad. Certainly better than Hurricane Big Bird.
Yeah, Oscar would be all right, though.
Hurricane Oscar's not bad.
Hurricane Mr. Green Jeans.
Elmo?
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Okay, enough about the hurricanes. What's next on your agenda?
What's next on my agenda is just that Dick Cheney was out on the television and radio, recently saying how George Bush didn't listen to him after a while. And it occurred to me that that I stated on one or more of the previous podcasts that sometime after he fired Rumsfeld and after he lost the Congress in his sixth year as president, George Bush woke up one day and said, "I'm president," and decided to think for himself, if indeed you can call it thinking. And the fact that Cheney says that Bush stopped listening to him just goes to prove my theory from before, that Cheney ran the country for the first 6 years, and then George woke up and said, "I think I'll be president today."
Is it possible, I'm not sure, but is it possible that that is the first positive thing you've ever said about George Bush? I'm just asking. Yeah, you know, I'm just asking.
Maybe, but it makes me think about a wait, don't tell me that I heard where they asked different ex-presidents what their greatest accomplishment was, and Jimmy Carter said Camp David, and they all had something to say. And George Bush said he caught a 10-pound perch in his leg. And I think it was P.J. O'Rourke who chimed in and went, "You know what? I think that's true. Don't knock George Bush. That is the best thing he did as president."
The best thing that ever happened. Right. Speaking of Dick Cheney, did you see recently that there are a couple of Republican splinter groups, I guess, for lack of a better word, that are actually advocating for him to run for president?
For who? Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but it doesn't surprise me. Sure. I mean, he has his own small but passionate following of armed Klansmen.
Can you imagine a Dick Cheney, Sarah Palin
you were gonna say that.
Ticket?
Well,
I would rather just put a gun in my mouth and blow my brains out the back of my head.
I can guarantee you Sarah Palin can imagine it.
Oh, I'm sure she can. The other one that is terribly disappointing me right now is Bobby Jindal.
Yeah.
Did you see recently that whole big thing about the scam he was pulling with the funds, with the stimulus funds? He's another one of those governors that, quote unquote, refused to take the stimulus money.
Yeah, I did not see what he's done. No.
Well, what he did was he started going to groups in the state. Like, you know, he would go to a group that needed some money, and he would give them a check that had his name on it, a big check. You know, one of those, like, Tiger Woods 3x5 check with his name on it, and they would take all these photographs, and he was using it for political purposes, but it wasn't his money. It was stimulus money, which I thought was particularly dishonest.
Yeah, well, especially since people are going to vote for him in some part. Because he refused the stimulus money, which, of course, he can't do.
Right.
Yeah, he's playing both sides. That's a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
But I lost it with Bobby Jindal, even before the speech after Obama's acceptance speech, when I learned that he had taken part in an exorcism.
You know, I've heard that before. I didn't know how true it was. I had heard that he had. I guess he's particularly Catholic.
Yeah, and I believe that it's true. I can't say I can prove it. I certainly can't. You know, if it is, then isn't exorcism one step away from witchcraft?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Max. I would rather he have participated in an exorcism then go around the state handing out money that's not his, saying that it is his for political purposes.
Exorcism is better than out-and-out fraud.
Right, yeah, basically, than out-and-out lying, you know?
Have you heard this latest dust-up? Really, it's beginning to piss me off. And I'll tell you in a minute what's pissing me off. There's a group of conservatives, and I think that they're prompted by a talk radio show host, and there's like three of them out there that I can name, and I don't listen to them because I stopped because they were just obviously trying to
piss you off particularly.
They were in no way being unbiased, and were just trying to run down whatever Democrat was in power. Now there is a movement afoot to pull children out of schools so they don't hear the upcoming speech to children.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did hear about that. Right. Now, it doesn't matter to them that President Reagan did the same thing. And George Bush the first did the same thing. And that George Bush the second was in a school classroom the day of 9/11 either. That doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is this.
All right,
they're pushing this agenda.
but there will always be nut jobs. The thing that annoys me, and I've seen this twice in the last 2 days, is once on CNN and once on MSNBC, they've had a discussion with a moderator, somebody speaking in favor of President giving a pep talk to children, and somebody speaking against it. Like, they were equally qualified good ideas. Sometimes right. You have to say, no, you don't get to talk. You're an idiot.
Well, Glenn Beck is a real good example of that. I mean, he's been referring to this as indoctrination for, like, weeks.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, oh, he's horrible.
I've now lost my patience with equal time. If you've got 200 million people who think something is a good idea, like telling children to say in school, and 12 people who think the president is going to somehow infect the minds of their children, that's not an equal number. You don't get equal time.
No, and it's presented unfairly, and it's presented with a bias on top of that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
These idiots should not be part of the story. The president's going to talk to children. I saw a clip of the Reagan conversation. He had a conversation with like a 12-year-old girl where he told her that cutting taxes was a good thing. Fine. Take that home and talk to your parents about it tonight. I don't have a problem with the president talking about taxes to school kids. Come on. You know, people just wake up. Just
wake up. Wake up and smell the tax return.
It's clear to me they're not going to give him a chance. I understood. Well, I shouldn't say that. I understood why the Democrats were against George the second, because it looked like he was appointed by the Republican Supreme Court. People came against Bill Clinton with a whole set of angry ideas, which I never did understand. But I really thought we might get past it with Obama. How can you? You can disagree with Obama. You don't want to have a $1.2 trillion.
Well, it's hard to get past it with him because, you know, he wasn't born in this country, number one.
Right.
And he's an Arab.
So you got the truthers and now the whatever these people are, you know, they're wacky nut jobs and they don't deserve equal time. I've ranted again, but sorry.
I agree with you 100%. I do. They don't deserve equal time, but unfortunately they're loud enough to demand the coverage, and they get it.
Fox News. The thing that bothers me is they're getting it on MSNBC and on CNN.
Well, yeah.
I don't have a problem with them reporting on angry people at town hall meetings. If those people have a different opinion than me, that's fine. Report it. It's new. But if you've got one person standing out in front of a church saying God hates fag, you don't have to report on it.
I agree.
Let's move on. Okay. Urban legends come to life, or you got something?
Well, I got something.
All right.
And that was I was watching ESPN radio on the TV, and Tim Kirchin was there. He was having a discussion.
Can I now say? Raised... Timmy!
Timmy. You love Tim Kirchin. Everybody loves Tim Kirchin.
Yeah.
They raised this question that somebody had asked him, and I just found it interesting, and I wanted to ask you the same question. And that is, they asked him to name some things that he had not done in his life that other people who were about his age would have already done.
Right.
And the first thing he came up with was that until 2 years ago, he's our age, so until 2 years ago, he had never had a cup of coffee.
Right, yeah.
I think that's pretty unusual, although some people tell me that down south, there are lots of people who've never had coffee.
The big thing down south is sweet tea.
Yeah, sweet tea and Coke. I mean, they drink Coke and Pepsi down there because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So they sort of chided him about that because he was talking about 2 years ago that he had tried it.
And is he Mormon?
I do not believe so. But I don't know that for a fact.
Well, there's no sort of ethnic background for Mormon.
No, anybody can be. Yeah. So then they kind of chided him about that, and he ended up saying that another thing that he had not done in his life was ever ride a motorcycle, which I thought was interesting, although that's not quite as broad as not having had coffee.
Coffee is ubiquitous in this country.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, do you have something that you have not done in your life that other people, you know, about your age have done? And then I'll give you a couple of my own.
I haven't been married.
which is one that I did not think about for you when I was thinking about this question. You know, part of that is because, you know, you don't wear that on your shoulder.
Well,
people generally don't.
It's not something that I'm particularly proud of or want to brag about.
Right.
You know, I actually think that there's going to be a chance that that'll change at some point. But Yeah, it's kind of a conversation stopper. Hi, my name is Steve. I've never been married. Oops.
The one I was thinking about was the fact that you've never flown on a commercial airline flight.
I have one time, with assistance, spent a 5-minute flight at the fly-in breakfast, and that's the only time I've been in a plane at all. Which is a long story behind that. For most of my life, I was either too poor or didn't have any place to go to fly. I never had an opportunity to fly. In fact, I more or less asked the guy that I was working for to send me on a plane to pick up his car in South Carolina one time, and he wouldn't spend the money. So it's weird how it ended up that I didn't get on the plane, but no, one time. I've only been on a motorcycle riding one time.
Well, my point is that although we think of airplane flight as commercial flight as being a pretty common thing, there are lots of people who have never flown it either.
Yeah. So. I used to love to, at the airport, my family used to go to the airport when we were kids and watch the planes. I remember looking through the airport terminal when it was a hot summer day, and you could walk in the front door and walk out the back door and onto the plane, you know, being 150 feet away from just walking up the ramp and onto the plane.
That was before
terrorism, and you remember the first plane hijackers were Cubans. But no, sure. I never flew. So what else you got?
Well, the thing that I haven't done in my life, which I, to this day, am fascinated by, is the fact that I've never seen a James Bond movie.
That's weird.
I've never seen one. And I grew up with a guy who was a big James Bond fan. And, I mean, he and my brothers and I did everything together. But he used to go to James Bond movies when they came out with his brother, and so we never all went together. So I've never actually seen a James Bond film.
I'm sure I've seen all of them except Quantum of Solace. I just watched the first Daniel Craig one the other night. When I did my 5-minute movie, my mini movie interview with Klingon, the Klingon talked about, you know, radio signals from Earth and watching the James Bond Ted Turner network, because Ted Turner had them and James Bond was on all the time. He almost had to,
was the first movies that he bought.
He almost had to avoid
that station.
James Bond on purpose. I can't believe you've never seen a James Bond. You're busting me about not seeing The Godfather, and you haven't seen Goldfinger.
Right. But see, the difference is I'm talking about 3 movies. You're talking about 127.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's only 3 Godfather movies.
Right, well, yeah.
That you have avoided. I've been able to avoid at least 20 or 25 James Bond films.
I was thinking more like a dozen, but man, it could be 24. I don't know. Including one with David Niven. I mean, you know, Peter Sellers.
Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. I haven't done them. Oh, well, let's move on. We got time for one more.
I like this story about the guy who was hooked up to a copying machine. They had prepared a sheet of paper that said he's lying, and they hooked the guy up to the photocopier, and they pressed the button after they ask him a bunch of questions, and it said he's lying. The Israelis right. did the same thing. Hooked a man up to an electrocardiogram machine, and the perp was informed that certain squiggles on the paper proved that he did indeed remember and must be hiding the details. Andrei Polokin, 47, then confessed and was charged with fatally stabbing his neighbor.
Well, on the one hand, you have to wonder about how somebody could get hooked up to a copier machine and not realize
this paper right that
he was hooked up to a copier machine. Know what I mean?
Well,
right. I mean, you have to, you know. But the flip side of that is how do you feel about the ethics of police who are lying to a criminal? I mean, that is such a infringement on your rights.
It's an interesting question. Let me turn it back on you. Do you think that detectives now do not lie to people that they're investigating, interrogating?
Well, you know, I think that they probably do. But my thing is that, you know, if I'm interrogating you and I say,
right.
we have a witness that puts you at the scene at 11
right.
o'clock that night. And I wonder if that's different than hooking this guy up to a machine and saying, accusing him of lying.
Yeah, I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I think
that there's a difference.
If you've arrested somebody running away from a 7-Eleven that's just been robbed, and the video camera was not working, and you say, we have you on videotape, that's at least as
right.
bad as hooking the guy up to the copy machine that says he's lying. And I suspect,
right.
no pun intended, that they do that. Is
well,
it right?
you're probably right, and I don't believe that it is.
I think that's a...
I mean, if you go through all this trouble of
yeah.
reading somebody the Miranda rights and everything else that you might do
yeah.
in terms of criminals, and I'm not a bleeding heart liberal on this. I'm not saying that, you know, all I'm saying is that I think that you as a law abiding individual have the right not
yeah.
to be lied to by the police. I mean, can the police pull up to the house here? Up in Massachusetts and say to me that, you know, they caught me, that somebody spotted me
yeah.
running a red light or, you know, or something like that in the hopes that I to confess to that or something else.
I don't think
that's right.
I steal money from you by fraudulent means. You know, I sell you a bridge in Brooklyn that I don't actually own. Yeah.
You little Nigerian, you.
That's wrong. That's fraud. It's a crime. Should it be a crime to commit fraud
right.
in the investigation of a crime? I think I might agree with you on this. I never thought about it before.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably the question, is it? You know, but I mean, isn't that, and we're not going to get into this discussion, but isn't that the basis of what torture is for terrorism? Does the end justify the means? Does torturing somebody, waterboarding somebody, hurting them in some sort of way like that in order to get them to confess or give information, does that end justify the means by which you get
that
information?
I would make that comparison because I think it's a level higher. You know, it's one thing to lie to somebody. It's another
okay.
thing to rip out their fingernails. I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, I think that's a bigger discussion for
yep.
another time, you know? So I think at this point we're at our mark. Let us say follow us on CSA Podcast at blogspot.com.
CSA Podcast @gmail.com.
And follow us on Twitter on CSA Podcast.
See you later.
Wreck free, though I respect that a lot. I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, the bird of friendliness. like our